Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 109 are Eric Anderson.
Hey, everybody.
Don Donfris.
How's everybody doing?
And Norm Hayden.
Hey, everybody.
Tonight, we're going to be continuing again with our Munch Madness Table Service Dining Tournament. We'll be taking the winners of each of our four regional groups and reducing them down from the Sweet 16 to the Epicurean 8. But before we get there, I do once again want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Fairytale Journeys travel agents would be happy to help you plan your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, heck, even Disneyland Paris vacation. You can check them out online at fairytalejourneys.com. All right, gentlemen. We've been through this a couple of times already. We've talked about these restaurants before, so I think we'll probably move through these a little more quickly because we don't need to kind of rehash the same things. But obviously, if there's something important that you want to make sure that we talk about, please do. First, we're going to work through the two matchups in the foodie region. And the first matchup there pits number 8, Artist Point, against number 5, Blue Zoo. I think this has been a really intriguing matchup. There's been some discussion about this one, in the community during the week. Eric, why don't you kind of give us your sense of this matchup?
Well, I think this is these are two really good restaurants. They both do a lot of things well. You know, for me, it comes down to Blue Zoo having it in a couple of spots. One is they're a little more adventurous. They're a little more on the cutting edge. And again, they've got that 2 hours of free childcare if you want to have a date night. So to me, the lean is just slightly in Blue Zoo's favor.
So Norm, what are you thinking about this one?
Well, I think all of these restaurants, we're going to find that the food is probably pretty close at this point in the tournament. So I'm going to look at Artist Point from the experience view. Yes, the food is good at both, but from my experience, starts at the Magic Kingdom with a boat ride over the water bridge, the walk up the long plank into their beautiful restaurant, and then to
Why
the food.
Why does it surprise me that Norm wants to start dinner by walking the plank?
Yar.
Yo, eat up me hearties, yo.
Okay.
So that one, Artist Point.
All right, so it sounds like you've got one lean each direction. Don, are you feeling yourself pulled one way or the other?
I have to lean toward Artist Point. I love the ambience of the Wilderness Lodge. Go there on like in the evening. Doesn't get much better than that to me.
Okay, so the pull for Artist Point, the ambiance of the Wilderness Lodge. I kind of agree on that point. I think that when I was talking to somebody else about this earlier this week, I said, the biggest strike against Blue Zoo is sort of wandering the Swan and Dolphin Convention Center to find it. It just doesn't compare with, working your way through Wilderness Lodge and past the big fireplace and the Territory Lounge there and all of the other components that sort of surround Artist Point. That said, I'm also pulled back a little bit towards Blue Zoo by the childcare that Eric mentioned. It's a really nice bonus when you're going to do a signature meal like that. It's nice to be able to be comfortable that, your kids are going to have fun with the evening too, and you don't have to worry about whether the fine dining experience is what's going to entertain your kids that evening. So let's go ahead and do quick votes. I think we have a sense of how people are voting, but let's go ahead and take votes because I think this one's going to be close. So, Eric, what's your vote?
Go Blue Zoo.
Norm?
Artist Point.
Don?
Artist Point.
All right, and I'm going to vote for Blue Zoo, which gives us a 2-2 tie. And that means we throw it to the message board and throw it to the blog. And looking up at the blog, you know, in the community, the Disney Resort is pulling the numbers. Artist Point polled 74% of the vote with 35 votes in. And so Artist Point will advance with 26 votes to Blue Zoo's 9 votes. And the number 8 seed Artist Point upsets Blue Zoo. We move on in the foodie division to the 3 versus 7 matchup. And again, we have sort of the old school, new school matchup between number 3 Narcoossee's at the Grand Floridian Hotel and Jiko in the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Norm, I'll let you start off this time. What's your sense of this matchup?
Well, again, the food is exceptional. I've been to both of these restaurants, and you know, I don't know who did the seating for this, but I would probably put these two as my top signature dinings at restaurant behind, of course, my favorite that didn't make it. We won't name Fulton's. I mean, oh, sorry. All right. So the experience behind both of these is that with Narcoossee's, it's the fireworks. With Jiko, it's with the animals. I mean, the food is great at both. The atmosphere is great at both. The romantic nature of both restaurants, very calm, very quiet. So I'm just going to look at the experiences. And I, you know, Narcoossee's has the View of Wishes. Jiko has all of the animals. Well, not quite from Jiko, but a short walk out, stroll through the savannah there at the Jumbo at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And so both wonderful experiences.
All right, and do you have a lean here?
This one is, for me, I'm probably leaning towards Narcoossee's because, as I've said before, Narcoossee's has lobster, and in Kentucky, we have crawdads. So I'm going to go with the lobster and Narcoossee's.
Right. Don, how about you?
I'm going to lean toward Narcoossee's as well. There's just something there that, and again, you know, the Grand Floridian, the way it is. And I kind of like that one, so.
Okay. So, yeah, you got the elegance of the Grand Floridian, and you've got the sort of lodge of the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and those are very different atmospheres. Eric, how about you?
Well, they are different atmospheres, but I think they're both really romantic restaurants. I think they're both great for date nights. I think that they both put out some really excellent stuff. I think, as you said, the sort of the new school of Jiko has some more adventurous flavors. Narcoossee's is a little more middle of the road, but kind of classical, good dining. They both have excellent wine lists, but Jiko has the benefit of those South African wines that we've talked about before. This one's a very tough call. I think it's a lot closer than the seating would indicate. I think for me, it's tipped by a great meal I had at Narcoossee's last time I was there. That was just phenomenal. So I'm just going to, based on, I guess, a recency effect, I'm just going to go with Narcoossee's for here, okay, for this one. Although Jiko is excellent as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we're all kind of in the same boat here. It's a very close call. So close, in fact, that looking at the online voting, they're dead even. This is another one of those. We have 32 votes in, 16 for Narcoossee's, 16 for Jiko. I think that for me, it comes down to Narcoossee's has an edge in terms of the breadth of the menu. I think it there are more options there, and so it appeals to a broader range of palates. And I think that for a fine dining experience, the elegance of the Grand Floridian fits. You know, it's not my favorite hotel, not one I'm really looking forward to staying at, but it's certainly one where it evokes the right atmosphere for that date night fine dining. And I know that Jiko has a really romantic atmosphere of its own. It just doesn't seem to me to be the same sort of fine dining atmosphere. So let's go ahead and do formal votes, but I think we know where we are here. It sounds like it's a clean sweep for Narcoossee's. But Norm, what's your vote?
Narcoossee's.
Eric?
Narcoossee's by the slimmest of margins.
Okay, Don?
Narcoossee's.
And Narcoossee's for me. So although the board or the blog was split 50-50, I think to some extent we were each split similarly, and Narcoossee just kind of edged ahead for each of us. So Narcoossee's advances, and we'll have a 3-versus-8 matchup there in the next round. Moving on to the resorts and downtown Disney region, we have the 1-seed Sanaa matched up with number 5, Raglan Road. Having upset Kuzina last round, Raglan Road is the lowest seed left in this bracket. Eric, why don't you give us your sense of this matchup between Sanaa and Raglan Road?
Sure. This is kind of regional cuisine, but there's a lot more going on in each restaurant than just the cuisine. Sanaa is basically an Indian restaurant with some African flavors thrown in, but you also have a view of the savannah out the windows. Raglan Road is primarily an Irish pub, but you also have Irish dancers and some Irish music there for entertainment during the evenings. So they both have kind of unique experiences at Walt Disney World. Sanaa is just really, really good food. They do interesting and adventurous stuff for a 1-table service restaurant. And I just feel like I've got to reward them for that.
Okay. So it sounds like Eric would hold seed. Makes sense. They're his seeds with Sanaa. Norm, what's your sense here?
Well, taking it to the experience theme, which I'm going with tonight, for me, Sanaa, the cuisine doesn't do it for me. So that's just, I'll have to give that little sidebar note for anybody listening. But the experience, again, as Eric mentioned, it's in the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Or actually, this one's in Kidani, in the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Beautiful view of the savannah. The time we ate there, it looked like we had a giraffe that was trying to walk into the restaurant, which is really cool. So you talk about an experience. But on the other hand, Raglan Road, you add an extra experience flair is that you can take a boat from a couple of the different resorts to downtown Disney. And for me, that boat travel right before your meal just adds a little extra kick to it. And then, of course, the extra experience of the Irish dancers. Giraffes are nice. Dancers are nice, too. So I'm gonna go with the beer, the dancing, and the boat ride.
All right. And Don, have you been sort of drawn? Are you leaning one way or the other?
I guess I would probably lean toward Raglan Road for myself. I enjoy different things. I'm not sure that I would enjoy the food as much at Sanaa. So that would, not to say that it doesn't sound really cool. I'm just not sure that the cuisine is something I would lean toward. So.
Sure, sure. And I think we're reaching that point where, you know, all of these are quality experiences. It's splitting hairs to some extent, and it's worth considering. I know for me, it's difficult for me to choose Sanaa because I know that that's not a cuisine that my wife enjoys. And so it would be a matter of, you know, convincing her to give it a shot because she doesn't, like I said, it's something that she's had experiences with and she doesn't enjoy. On the other hand, you know, Raglan Road has its own unique flavors to some extent, things you don't find everywhere else, and it's got a great beer menu. And then the last thing, and I think we've maybe glossed over this a bit much in talking about Sanaa, it is kind of a pain to get to. It's not maybe as big a deal if you've got a car with you at Disney World, but if you're relying on Disney transportation, you know, getting yourself to Kidani for dinner can be really tricky. It's not like being able to, you know, take a bus to downtown Disney from anywhere on property. It takes some doing, and that convenience factor, you know, plays in as well. So let's go ahead and go around and take votes. I'm going to cast my vote, and I surprised myself a little bit here, but I am going to cast my vote for Raglan Road. Don, what's your vote?
I would have to agree with you on most of your points there. So Raglan Road it is for me.
Okay. And Don? Or I'm sorry, yep. Eric.
Well, we own DBC at Kanani Village, so it's not that hard for us to get there. So I'm gonna stick with Sanaa, even though it's in a losing effort. It sounds like.
Okay, and Norm.
Yes, I'm going with Raglan Road.
All right. Well, it's a good thing that you cast your vote for Raglan Road, and Raglan Road wins 3-1. Because had you forced the tie, we'd have been in trouble. Because again, on the blog, we had Sanaa and Raglan Road locked up at 17 votes apiece. So clearly, there's some interest in both of these restaurants, and close call. But Raglan Road, with the upset victory, advances. We move to our last Resorts in Downtown Disney matchup, number 3 Boma, and number 2 Kona Cafe. We've now gone. We had, when we started here, we had 3 Animal Kingdom Lodge restaurants all surviving through the round of 32. Boma's the last man standing from Animal Kingdom Lodge, up against Kona Cafe from the Polynesian Resort. You know, to me, this matchup is, to some extent, and we've talked about this before, my personal opinion is that Kona excels at breakfast. I'm not a big fan of their dinner. I know Norm would argue with me because he enjoys the teriyaki. Boma, on the other hand, I think is much better at dinner than at breakfast. And again, there are people who disagree with me, but I think that dinner is where they get to excel and really show off their unique... They can twist on things, whereas at breakfast it tends to be a little more ordinary. But Boma tends to be polarizing. People either really enjoy it, or as one person mentioned, it was so bad that their spouse couldn't find anything that she could eat or would eat there, and she just skipped the meal, basically. So, like I said, it's very polarizing. Let's kind of work our way around, and Eric... What's your lean?
This is another tough call. I mean, I feel bad because all the Animal Kingdom Lodge restaurants are kind of getting killed off in this round. But
all of a sudden, dropping like flies.
Yeah, it's tough. And Boma is my least favorite of the restaurants that were in the mix here, and I don't think that. You know, I've got enough that I don't like there that it makes it hard to vote for it. Boma has some good stuff, but they make some unusual choices in their dinners. Also gets a little crazy in there, so the atmosphere is not as pleasant as you might hope for in a restaurant.
Sure.
Kona, you know, I give it a little bit more credit these days just because they've got sushi on the menu now, and that's a big draw, and it's not the super fancy sushi of California Grill, or at least the previous incarnation of California Grill, but it is quality stuff done by people who know what they're doing. So you know, I'm going to have to give the lean to Kona on this one.
All right, Norm, which direction are you leaning?
Well, coming back from that experience side, we know that Boma, like the other Animal Kingdom Lodge restaurants, as you mentioned, a little bit harder to get there. It's a bus-only method. Kona Cafe, of course, they're at the Polynesian Resort. You can get there by bus or by monorail or by boat from the Magic Kingdom. Here I am with the boat theme.
I was just going to say, I'm sensing a real boat theme here.
Yes,
you know, is it any accident that Fulton's is on a boat too?
I don't know. It's just this water thing is getting to me. So my plan is to retire and work as a boat captain in Disney somewhere and try to sink somebody. So that'll be crazy to let me pilot a boat anyway. But back to the topic here. But for me, Kona in the Polynesian, and I'm sure experience-wise, we probably go to the Polynesian every time we're at Disney, although we've never stayed there. And perhaps that's so that I can go get a Dole Whip at Captain Cook's. However, I still find myself in the Polynesian. I find myself drawn to it. It's a beautiful resort with the beach and the theming. And, you know, the one extra piece to the Kona is the Lapu Lapu. Just a wonderful, nice little alcoholic beverage served in that Coke and that pineapple, And so for me, I'm nothing against Boma, just all of these, just like these other restaurants, very good restaurants. But for me, the experience factor leans towards Kona.
Okay. Don, how about you?
I got to go with Kona. It comes down to, like the previous guys, I love the atmosphere at the Polynesian. That's part of getting there. And, you know, if you get there at the right time, they have the fire lighting ceremony in the early evening. And then the food up in Kona is, I enjoy it a lot. We like teriyaki, and then, of course, then there's on top of that, the breakfast. We really enjoy the breakfast there. So to me, it's Kona Cafe.
All right. Well, it sounds like I'm going to lose this fight because I'm still going to back Boma, but it sounds to me like I'm alone this time. Just to confirm, Norm, your vote's for Kona?
Aye.
Eric, your vote's for Kona?
Yes, indeed.
And Don's vote is for Kona, so Kona advances 3-1 over Boma. And
welcome to my world, Aaron.
Huh?
I said, welcome to my world.
Oh. Oh, I've twisted in the wind by myself several times in this tournament so far. All right, so we've got the left side of the bracket all taken care of, down to the Epicurean 8. We move across the bracket to the dinner and a show side. And we've got the sort of the character meal showdown going on. Number one, Tusker House at the Animal Kingdom Park, against number five, Crystal Palace in the Magic Kingdom. Both of them offer more than one character meal, and they each offer that sort of premium pre-rope drop reservation. You know, Norm, what makes one of these stand out for you?
Gosh, this is just a really, really hard one. Because the Tusker House with that pre-park opening is right there next to the Kilimanjaro Safari ride, which might be one of my top three rides in all of Disney World. Problem is that Crystal Palace is located in the Magic Kingdom, where it's my favorite park in all of Disney World. What am I going to pick? Goodness. So these are both two wonderful places, but I think for me, the magic of Walt Disney World is still the Magic Kingdom. So I might have to lean towards the Crystal Palace.
Okay. And Eric, how about you?
It is a tough call. You know, they've got totally different character experiences. So you've got, at Tusker House, you've got sort of your Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy lineup, whereas you've got the Pooh characters at Crystal Palace. And again, at breakfast, you can eat bacon in front of Piglet. And that is an experience to be treasured always. But I'm going to have to go with Tusker House just on the basis of the food, the variety, and some of the more exotic flavors that they're able to get onto the buffet. Make me lean that way.
Okay.
On this one.
All right. And Don, how about you? You being pulled one way or the other?
Agree with Norm in that I love the Magic Kingdom and the magic of being there first thing in the morning. I lean toward the Tusker House on this one because I enjoy the food there a little bit more. And I love being with the classic Disney characters. Not that Pooh's great. You know, nothing wrong against Pooh and friends. I just prefer Mickey and friends over that. So Tusker House it is for me.
Okay, so we've got two votes for Tusker House so far and one for Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace, I think one of the things that it suffers in my mind is that it's one of the two or three most expensive character meals on property, and really sort of unreasonably so. It's not like the menu is that special. On the other hand, you know, there aren't many places where your kids can call grandma and say that they played with poo at breakfast, and you know, that be an okay thing for them to have done. You know, the pre-rope drop experience is great for both of them. I think what pushes me over is, as Eric was saying, the advantage at Tusker House is, you know, a character buffet is a character buffet, and it takes something to make it a little different, a little extra. And I think that Tusker House does more to do that, to push it to another level, to give you a unique experience that you can't get somewhere else. And that would be true for both of the meals that they offer. So, I'm also going to vote for Tusker House. That would make it 3-1, and number one Tusker House holds seed and moves on. So the next one is a very difficult matchup for me, at least. This is the number three seed, Ohana, which is a character meal in the at breakfast and the meat fest at dinner, versus Akertus, which is a princess character meal at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. See, I guess we're at Eric's turn. Eric, you want to kind of lay out the battle here, or describe the battle for us a bit?
Sure. I think what it's going to come down to, more or less, is how much are you a carnivore? Because Ohana really plays to that at dinner time. Akershus has what I think is the best, you know, princess meal. And having two daughters, I've been to Akershus a lot. And being a carnivore, I've also been to Ohana a lot. And I think overall, I'm going to lean slightly toward Akershus because of the quality of the food. I've never had a bad meal there, and I have had one bad meal at Ohana. So I'm going to have to just ding Ohana on that basis.
Okay. Don, how about you?
For me, it would be Ohana. A few years ago, my daughter would have probably killed me for not picking Akershus. Huge princess fan, and you can't go wrong with the character with the princess meal there. But being a carnivore and preferring that type of food, it's definitely Ohana for us.
Okay, so we have got one Akershus, one Ohana. Norm, how about you?
Well, everything nice I just said about going to the Polynesian and loving that as a destination resort, going to have to throw this experience over to Akershus, and I still probably can't say that right, so it's just my best Kentucky accent that I can muster. And a disclaimer, I've never had lunch or dinner there. The menu does not look appealing to me, but like Eric, I've probably had breakfast there at least, oh, maybe, I don't know if I want to say 10 times or not, but that might be close to that. And, you know, the reasons are Cinderella, Belle, Aurora, Snow White, Ariel, Mulan, Jasmine. I have two wonderful little princesses of my own, and I can't imagine a trip to Epcot where we don't stop in for breakfast, and it's just a magical place. So there's my vote.
Okay. So we've got two votes for Akershus, one for Ohana. And, you know, I think I could find myself getting drawn and quartered here, but I'm really torn because, on the one hand, the Akershus character meal experience is a terrific character meal experience. It's a, you know, they do it right. It's not overcrowded. They make sure that all of the princesses, you know, spend a reasonable amount of time with all the guests. It's not, you don't feel rushed. The addition of the cold bar, you know, along with the table service portion of the meal, you know, is a nice variety, a nice balance. Ohana, though, is Ohana. you know, I've had some of my favorite Disney World meals there. The atmosphere there is a lot of fun. You know, my daughter still talks about having, you know, one of the other kids who was there with us, you know, one Barry's daughter, pushing her when she had to be in a wheelchair back in January so that she could do the coconut race while wheelchair bound. And that's, you know, one of those kind of indelible memories. At the same time, it's my family's favorite character meal because the only character that my son will interact with is Stitch, and the only place you can find him is at Ohana. I think that if I was voting only based on, you know, consistent food, I think Akershus might actually win because I've had, you know, really good meals at Ohana, and I've had at least one where it wasn't quite so good. You know, the downside sometimes of spit roasting meat is that sometimes some of it gets overdone, and that's never a good thing. But I think what pushes Ohana over for me is that you get two distinct experiences at breakfast and at dinner. Very different experiences, but both of them are excellent. Very different food, but it's still good both times. And it's probably my kids' favorite place to eat. So, after talking myself into it, I'm going to push this into a tie. And Ohana and Akershus are locked up. We go to the blog vote, and overwhelmingly, Ohana takes out Akershus. 30 votes to 5. So, closely fought battle, but Ohana survives. Down go the princesses. Down go the princesses. Down go the princesses. And we move on to the last of our four divisions. We're looking at now at the theme park division. We have number one, Viennapoli, against number five, Yak and Yeti. And Norm, why don't you give us the lay of this battle?
Well, this is an odd combination cuisine. We have more of a Chinese food influence at Animal Kingdom with an Italian food influence at Epcot. So don't know how quite those add up there. And are China and Italy neighboring countries in Epcot in the World Showcase? No. No, they're not. Okay, so I was going to think a battle of neighbors, but I couldn't quite get there, though. Viennapoli, experience-wise, you know, their pizzas are wonderful. Their wait staff was authentic. Really had a great experience with that meal. Yak and Yeti, I think we've mentioned this before, so I don't want to dwell. The upstairs view from the second floor, as you eat dinner, looking out the windows, watching the people go by, is a wonderful experience as well. So those are my two take on those two.
All right. And do you have a lean here?
I'm a pizza guy, pizza and beer. So, you know, we're going Viennapoli all the way.
All right. How about you, Don?
Well, I enjoy both cuisines. Being half Italian, Napoli is where I would lean. So, okay. That's my vote.
And Eric, how about you?
I'm also going to go with Viennapoli.
Yeah, that's a clean sweep. I'm going to vote for Viennapoli as well. I mean, Yak and Yeti, the beautiful job theming the restaurant and solid food, but you know, Viennapoli basically saved pizza at Walt Disney World, and they get credit for that. All right, and so for our final matchup of the night, we have what is really quite possibly, you know, we've had some great matchups, a couple that were even tied on the blog voting. This is the one that really struck me as a close call. Number three, Hacienda de San Angel in the Mexico Pavilion in Epcot against Biergarten in the German pavilion at Epcot. So, let's see. Norm, why don't you break those two down for us?
Well, Biergarten is, of course, German food. If you like German beer, they do entertainment as well. You get to you sit more picnic style tables with other people, and you can enjoy that. Well, some people would enjoy the interaction with other people, and some people might not enjoy that as an experience. Hacienda de San Angel, as a Mexican cuisine, it's the newer of the two. I think most people think of the pyramid restaurant, but it's not the one inside the pyramid. It's the one across,
right, across from the walkway.
Across the walkway, which has a view of illuminations if you time that reservation at the right time.
Right. And are you leaning towards one or the other at this point?
For this one, I know this is probably one of the silliest reasons to pick a restaurant over another one, but I like having a chair back when I sit down. And I mean, I know that may sound completely ridiculous, but that's why I'm going to pick Hacienda de San Angel.
Okay. So that's a vote for Hacienda. Eric, how about you?
I'm also going to go with Hacienda. Not so much for the chair backs, but I think the overall experience. I mean, if you know, we've gone, you know, the past couple of times to Walt Disney World in a pretty crowded time of year. So, you know, sitting with a bunch of strangers to eat may not be the best thing to do after you've been, you know, jostled a lot walking around Walt Disney World. You may want a little more, you know, privacy, a little more private family time. I'm mostly kidding about that, but Hacienda, I think, lends itself well to both family meals and, you know, the sort of date night experience, because it is right there on the water in Epcot, and they make some really good margaritas. So I'm going to have to go with Hacienda on this one.
All right. Don, how about you?
While I enjoy Beer Garden for the beer and the sausage, my family is not quite as enthusiastic about that type of dining nor that cuisine as I am. So, and I enjoy La Hacienda. So that's my vote, La Hacienda.
So. All right. Well, that's three votes for La Hacienda. You know, okay, I'm going to go ahead and vote for Beer Garden anyway. Might as well. It's not going anywhere. It's a tough choice. I mean, you know, look, my two favorite spirits after scotch, which generally, you know, isn't served as part of a restaurant meal, are tequila, which Hacienda does very nicely with, thanks to its relationship with La Cava, and beer. Which Beer Garden does expertly. So it's like, you know, choosing my favorite child. But I've said before, I like the experience of Beer Garden. I like how laid back it is. I think, you know, I enjoyed the food. I loved the beer. The entertainment is a nice bonus. So I'm casting my vote for Beer Garden. But again, I'm losing that battle. Hacienda advances and will face Via Napoli in the next round. And that vote, by the way, went pretty heavily contrary to the voting on the blog, because Beer Garden had a 23-11 vote among blog voters. So Hacienda polls upset not just in the seedings here, but also among the blog readers. All right, so just to recap, we had Artist Point advance over Blue Zoo, Narcoossee's over Jico, Raglan Road upsetting Sanaa, Kona Cafe over Boma, Tusker House over Crystal Palace, Ohana upsetting Akershus, Via Napoli beating Yak and Yeti, and finally La Hacienda de San Angel upsetting Beer Garden. So you've heard what we think about these matchups. We'd really love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. and participate in our discussions in the forums at boards.dizdads.com. And by the way, I want to emphasize, come by the blog. We'll continue to be voting as the tournament progresses. And, you know, as you've seen over and over again, these votes on the blog have an impact in how this tournament comes out. So get your votes in. They have made a difference. Also, just a reminder, check your feed for our new midweek dad show, Your Hump Day Disney Fix. I'm going to have to stop referring to that as our new show because I think we're about to do episode 19 next week. Until next time, I've been Aaron Ripmaster with the tournament's grand designer, Eric Anderson.
Uh-oh. Bye, everybody.
Don Donfris.
Good night, everybody.
And the peg leg panelist, Norm Hayden.
Arr. Thanks, everybody.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.